give an overview, if you would, on how you believe giants came to Earth and how long they lasted on the Earth as a group, which could be reasonably called the giants, as opposed to just tall people amongst us.
Well, first of all, going back to Genesis, it states there were giants in the Earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God, meaning the angels, came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became the mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And it doesn't matter what myth, historic structure you put it in, you always have this idea of angels, or as some people, as you're aware, believe the spacemen came to Earth and had sex with Earth women, producing a genetic hybrid. I don't believe that, but I believe specifically that we've got the history books complete, the mythological records complete, with the idea that there were a group of guys, and they were guys, that came to Earth, had sexual relations with the Earth women, and produced these supernatural men, which the Bible says that became the mighty men of renown.
Now, other than the biblical record of Genesis 6 on this story, why not females giants coming to Earth?
Well, first of all, the interesting, that's a good question. In all, and I want to share this with you, whether it's Greek mythology, Babylonian mythology, any of the ancient Egyptian mythology, it's always in the masculine sense. Now, the word giantess is produced out of that union. I mean, obviously, depending on, sex of the child giant, you would have giantesses, and there's a whole bunch of fascinating women in history who fulfilled that role, and I'm talking big ladies. I'm talking 12-footers.
Right.
So the point is that, but it's an anomaly that they're always spoken of in the context of males, and that's one of the most striking anomalies that, as I've researched this, that pops right out into the common focus.
Well, I'll just throw something out at you, and you just respond to it as you want, but just remember, too, that in Hebrew, the collective of anything would probably be in the male, not female or neuter form. So even if you're talking about, like, as we say, mankind, we don't just mean men, we mean humankind.
Right.
And so it's I just wonder where in their story, because, you know, if we get too gender specific with that language, it might mean that there were no female giants. But it seems to me that somehow, in order for these giants to continue to create more giants, is that there have to be these giantesses in there somewhere in order to keep them big, or if they kept, you know, reproducing with normal human-sized women, at the time would have been, you know, 4 to 5 feet tall, it would just dramatically decrease the likelihood that there would ever be any more giants after a few generations.
Well, yeah, but that's absolutely not accurate from the standpoint that even going beyond the linguistic uniqueness of Hebrew, you're finding it in, let's just say, Babylonian, the Akkadian language, too, especially when you're talking about the Epic of Gilgamesh.
Right.
Now, for a lot of years, and for those of you that don't know, and this is on my website, so you can go and read it, it's fascinating, but Gilgamesh was believed to be a fictional character by, quote, the mainstream archaeologists, anthropologists, those who questioned. Everything was myth to them, but a few years ago, the actual tomb of Gilgamesh was found and basically said, I'll paraphrase it, here lies Gilgamesh, two-thirds god, one-third man. And on the engraving, actually the stele, the inscribed rock image, you have a gentleman that is somewhere in the neighborhood of 10 to 12 feet seated holding a lion by its rear feet. And next to it, you have one of the interesting guys that's in history called the Lion Man of Moab. And so you've got a contemporary archaeological find bearing witness and solidifying and validating the fact that what mainstream archaeologists said was only fiction, and Epic of Gilgamesh is 4,500 years old, is very, very now prominent, and I find it unique and truly fascinating that the main story, the oldest story, the oldest poetic narrative now, the validation has come through modern archaeology.
Well, so just then, so we wrap up the timeline as you present it. The fallen ones come and they procreate with Earth women, and this line of giants continues for how long?
Well, it continued both through the fall and after. Excuse me, it continued through Noah's flood and after, because again, Genesis says there were giants in those days, both before and after. And now the interesting thing that you have is you actually have tales of giants, and I'm talking living giants, in everything from the Solomon Island to different parts of the world. And again, you know, modern man has a hard time finding it, but for those that don't know what we're talking about, that are on the Internet, they can go to the link we put up for Coast to Coast and click on it. You can see the Kashmir giants on the front of my book. One of them's 9 feet tall, one of them's 10 feet tall at the turn of the century. That was 1905 when the British six-foot explorer was taken with those pictures in.
Well, and that's fascinating, and I love that photo. And again, thanks for including that kind of work, because it really helps bring it home for me. But explain, though, when did giants stop being a nation of giants? When was the, if you'll pardon the term, the diaspora of giants? When did they stop being some sort of cohesive nationality, if you will, that had that reigned together or worked and survived in a group?
Well, probably the most contemporary group, when we're talking group, hundreds of giants, were probably talking the Solomon Island giants, because when the Japanese landed at Guadalcanal, even the Japanese historians, now we're talking obviously World War II, were basically the advanced party that landed on one side of the island was decimated, and they were literally destroyed by the giants. Now, people still can't grasp that we're talking about these individuals. The question that will come up, obviously, in the show is, where are they if they're real, and why aren't they presented to the public? I have an answer for that, but we'll get to that a little later.
Okay, well...
But to answer your question...
Yeah, because you're killing me on that. I'm so dying to know the answer to that. But go ahead, now finish up.
But all of the great explorers from De Soto, Magellan, Captain Cook, all the circumnavigators of the world, all encountered giants. And so when you're talking about Cortez and the chronicles of his that were taken both in Mexico and those who went into South America, you have contemporary writings of groups of giants. For instance, the Patagonians up until the 1850s, 1890s. Patagonia, by the way, the word means big feet. I actually have on my website a documentation of the Gentleman's Gazette, I think written in about 1767, that goes into great detail on Magellan's encounter of the Patagonian giants.